Hello, hello, hello. I would like to welcome you to the Harris & Harris Wealth Finance and Stilettos teleconference series. My name is Zenilia Harris. I'm a certified financial planner, member of the NBC Financial Advisor Council, and president of Harris & Harris Wealth Management Group, a firm focused on the financial success of professional women who are going through various life transitions, such as job change, marriage, widowhood, retirement, or the selling of their business. The Finance and Stilettos teleconference series highlights dynamic and powerful women of influence whose stories I feel should be shared to motivate, encourage, and enlighten women executives and business owners so they can make healthier professional and financial decisions. My guest today is Leah Niederdahl, and I want to share that she is a woman who teaches women entrepreneurs how to sign new clients. How powerful is that? An entrepreneur and three-time business owner, Leah didn't learn to sell by being a commissioned salesperson. She learned it by building her businesses. She taught herself everything she could about selling and overcoming the natural selling shyness most entrepreneurs have to find the confidence to really go out and sell to new clients. The outcome is a comfortable selling approach that doesn't feel salesy and gets results. And she shares the secrets she's learned along the way, helping entrepreneurs and business owners build their client pipeline and confidently guide prospects from the first contact to a successful close. Prior to starting GrowthWork Solutions, Leah built, grew, and sold three businesses. Most recently, she co-founded Lesbians Who Tech. She created a global organization to foster more LGBT women in technology. And she co-founded Lean Impact, which she helped nonprofits use lean startup principles to increase their impact and run their businesses most efficiently. Welcome, Leah.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, I am so glad to have you here to share more information about your business and your approach to helping women succeed in business. So, when I read about your approach to growing your business and how you use a refined approach to selling, share with us your journey and how you help other women service businesses to succeed with their sales process.
Sure. Yeah, so my journey has been a few twists and turns. So I actually, as you mentioned, I've never been a salesperson. In fact, my background is in marketing, and I worked for large advertising agencies. But as any entrepreneur knows, marketing and selling are very different. Mm-hmm. So when I first started my marketing and web design business in 2011, I realized that I didn't know how to sell to save my life, even though I'd been in marketing for my whole career. Mm. So I realized, you know, and I struggled, and I couldn't talk to clients, and I didn't know what to say, and I didn't know how to, you know, create opportunities, and I had a business partner, and she was the talker, not me. You know, I was the one who enjoyed being in the background, just working on stuff and tinkering and doing the work, right?
Right.
And I just really couldn't be that client-facing person to bring opportunities in. And I actually even hit rock bottom where I went back to get a job. And,
okay,
you know, that, as you know, that's every entrepreneur's rock bottom is to,
right,
to go back and work for someone else.
Yes.
And I hated it because I had had this taste of freedom and doing the work that I wanted for the clients that I wanted to work with. And so after a few months, I decided to recommit to building my business and commit to learning how to sell. I knew that if I was going to be successful, I had to do this. And so I didn't want to do it the way that I had seen before. You know, I've had salespeople call on me, and I've sort of seen the old, you know, old guy sales masters, and none of that felt right. And I really wanted to develop a style that was my own and felt comfortable for me. So
right,
I sort of went on this educational quest to teach myself everything I possibly could. I read, you know, 65 books. I tried every strategy with my own clients, and everything that felt salesy, I ditched. And everything that felt comfortable, I kept. And so I developed and refined a personal selling style that started working, and it started working really well. So, and that's what I teach entrepreneurs now, because, you know, when you sell your own stuff, it's so different than selling on behalf of somebody else.
Right.
And so the things that I share and part of my approach is, of course, there are, is the how of selling, right? How to create leads, how to take those leads to a conversation, how to do comfortable discovery, and how to lead them to a successful close, develop, you know, winning proposals and negotiate like a boss, all of those things. But a lot of it is also around mindset and taking a really hard look at not only why selling is so uncomfortable in the first place, but unpacking some of those limiting beliefs that we have, especially as women business owners and as women living in society, because I can teach you all day how to write a great proposal, but if you don't feel comfortable showing up in the sales process, none of that will help. So
well,
you really
share
have
with
to look
me.
At
both. Let me stop you and kind of go back to a couple of things. So number one, explain to me some of the things that you experienced that you felt was salesy.
Oh, you know, I'm trying to remember it now, but you know, people who felt like just sort of read from a script, perhaps, or wouldn't take no for an answer, or really sort of talked in a condescending way. They were just they knew what you needed more than you did. You know, weren't really listening.
Okay.
And were really just sort of trying to push a solution onto you instead of really hearing and understanding and guiding you to solve the challenges that you were really facing.
And with that, when you're, you know, of course, you came up with your own approach. And one of the things that I think was very profound that you said was our own beliefs in ourselves, our, you know, and how, what, and whatever that is, we bring that to the sales process. So what are some of the limiting beliefs that you are seeing when you work with your clients?
Yeah, so, you know, well, think about, my clients grow up as women, right? They are women. And so they grew up as girls and then as teenagers and, you know, young adults and adults. And think about all the messages you receive through that journey about both from maybe your personal situation, your parents or your family, and then society, right? So don't toot your own horn. Don't be anything that, if you assert yourself, you're being bossy or pushy.
Yeah.
You know, women in some cultures, you know, women are supposed to be seen and not heard.
Yes.
And, you know, and then all of that about, there's a lot of putting other people's needs first, right? We see our mothers and grandmothers do that all the time, and then we sort of internalize that. And all those things just don't serve you very well when you have to run a business and you must put yourself first. You know,
right.
You have to ask for what you want. You have to know your own value and be able to, you know, sort of wrap yourself in that and take it with you into a sales conversation.
No, I totally understand that, because one of the things that I was thinking about, I always reflect as I have these calls about me, because I'm hoping that this also, you know, that one of the major purposes of me doing this as well is to help others as well as help myself. And I will say that with owning a business, that's been one of the things that I have to talk myself into, do a mental conversation about. You have to self-promote, and that self-promotion isn't bad. So I think that that's so interesting, you know, because we do bring that, those feelings, those thoughts that play in our head that we have on recorder in our head, and we bring that to conversations that we have with potential clients and can affect our confidence level. So what are some of the tools that you use in order to get people out of that recording?
There are a few, and I just want to share with you, you know, all of that that you're experiencing, every woman business owner experiences it. You know, one of my clients was talking to me about an opportunity where she didn't she had proposed, she'd sent a proposal, and the person got back to her and said, you know, it's a little too expensive. And I asked her, you know, oh, did you follow up with them to see, you know, what, you know, to sort of continue the conversation and see what the price tolerance was and all of that. And she said, no. And I said, why not? And she said, well, I didn't want to look desperate.
Mm-hmm.
That's not coming from a place of a business owner. That's coming from something, you know, that's like high school stuff, but who could blame her? Because that, those types of things just make such an indelible mark on you.
Yes.
And you bring
yes.
them into that. So, so strategies that I teach people to overcome that. Well, there are a few. You have to attack it in a few different ways. The first is to get really, really clear on the value that you provide to your clients. I work with people who might answer, when somebody asks them, what do? They might answer the question, oh, I do PR, or I'm a leadership coach, or what have you. But that's really, while that might be accurate, that doesn't really sort of encapsulate the value that you provide to your clients. And the purpose of going through an exercise to really understand the value is, of course, to, you know, help that the client understand or other people understand what you do. But when you can see your own value, you know, writ large, you can start to really, I kind of picture it like wrapping it around you like a cape.
Okay.
And helping it empower you in the sales conversation.
So do you feel that, you know, with, I'm still stuck on the limiting beliefs for some reason. Mm. And I think because it's one of those things that it can be so ingrained in us. So my question to you is, how long does it take for your clients to get past those limiting beliefs in order to build up the confidence to have a successful sales conversation?
Well, I'll answer it in two ways. The first is fairly quickly, and it's a skill that you have to practice.
Okay.
You know, it's some there's exercises that I can that I'm teaching my clients, but it takes practice in every sales conversation. So one of the things that helps dissolve some limiting beliefs is the understanding that one reason that sales feels so uncomfortable is because we feel like we are almost below our prospects, right? We're asking for something or begging for something sometimes. I mean, that's what I hear from people. I just feel like I'm begging. And of course, that's an uncomfortable place to be, and it triggers all of these things about hierarchy and how we've been either taught to think about ourselves or talk to think of ourselves in relation to others. And so if you can mentally put yourself in a place, I go through this visualization exercise around visualizing a place in a scenario where you are completely neutral, where you're with somebody else, but it's completely neutral.
Right.
And then, you know, and a little bit more about that, but you know, using that as a mental touch point.
Okay.
To center you in every conversation, every email, every meeting, every, you know, and then seeing what that does is help you see yourself as a peer to your clients and your prospects.
Right.
And if you can see yourself as a peer, you know, that helps dissolve some of those limiting beliefs.
Right. Okay. I think, and the reason why I guess that stood out to me is because some years ago, I was in a mastermind group and we talked about this. And it was amazing for me to recognize the limiting beliefs that she shared. She was saying, you know, it becomes this recorder that you just go back to as a comfort measure. Because you know, when something happens and, like, let's say the first time you use your approach and it doesn't succeed, because that could happen, right? And you end up falling back on this whole idea, well, because that didn't succeed, I didn't succeed in this, then it creates this whole narrative that you start replaying in your mind. And I'm just big on the mere fact that as women, we do have to reprogram some of the negative things that have been said about us or said to us or that we feel in order to rise to the top and be the success that we had envisioned. So I love the whole idea of doing a visualization process because I think when you see where you want to be, it helps you stay focused. So I just love that.
I'm so glad. Yeah, I mean, think another thing I hear a lot is I don't want to bother my clients, right?
Right.
I don't want to bother my prospects. And think about, you know, what sort of baggage or, you know, experiences might prompt somebody to say that, you know? But if you, right, it's like, how do you want to show up in the world to your clients? Do you understand that the value you provide and that you're not, if I can help somebody solve a pain that is really keeping them from being their best self, or, you know, in a business or what have you, then is that a bother? No,
right.
It's not a bother. It's a, you know what I'm saying? It's just,
it's a value add, actually. Yes.
It's a total value add, which is why you can't tell someone, you know, just be more confident.
Right.
Right. I see a lot of that in this, from other, you know, people doing this type of thing, but you can't. You have to, dissolve what's there and then,
right.
Share new tools so that people can do exactly what you said, reprogram.
Right, right. So with your approach to promoting yourself, because that's what I'm going to call it, promoting yourself and with your prospects and your current clients, what have been some of the financial rewards you've seen occur with your clients?
That's a great question. So I've seen, so for people who have gone through my program or worked with me one-on-one using these strategies, you know, there are a lot of rewards that people have seen. So one of my clients who went through my 10-week program saw, two months after that ended, she had her best sales month ever. And she said that she's been able to grow her corporate clients, which was one of her goals, her corporate clients, by 82%.
Wow. That is a powerful testimony. Yes, to your approach.
You know, and then there are little things along the way. You know, one of my clients was able to triple her fees, triple what she gets paid.
Right.
And, you know, other people have been able to increase their win rate and sign clients faster. So, you know, there are big wins that are sort of longer term, and then there are small wins that add up to big wins.
Right, right. Well, I think that that's a, you know, that whole idea of raising your fee, that's an internal battle that I also have. I'm admitting that I have my own challenges, but that's one of the things that I also feel have this, you know, this fight with myself that, oh, no, you shouldn't raise your fees because of whatever reasons that I come up with in my mind that all of a sudden immediately appears when you start thinking about some way compensating yourself based on what you feel, what value you feel you bring to the table. So, you know, being able to overcome that, I just am so thankful to hear that there is a way to do this and to do it in a way that is comfortable as a woman and personally for whatever your specific situation is, because I'm thinking that, and you could correct me if I'm wrong, that each woman, that business owner that comes to you, they take your ideas, but they still make it their own. Is that, am I understanding your approach correctly?
Yes, exactly. So I teach people how to develop their personal selling style using the tools that I'm sharing with them and the methodology, but it has to be, you know, able to be molded to fit themselves, right?
Okay.
And so that's what I want people to walk away with.
Okay. So what are three tips you can share to help others grow their business?
I love this question. So the first is to know your sales process and your pipeline.
Mm.
So, you know, have you ever heard that phrase, what gets measured gets done?
Mm-hmm.
Well, so a lot of people are pursuing particular clients or a handful of clients, and it just sort of lives nowhere, right? It lives in their inbox or it lives on some Post-it notes on their desk or what have you.
Right.
If you can create a step-by-step sales process that mirrors your own and then track the opportunities that you are pursuing, even having that visibility lets you know, all right, how much money am I pursuing right now? How many clients am I pursuing? Do I need to create more opportunities? Am I pursuing enough?
Right.
And what needs to be moved forward, and what's close to closing? So even getting that visibility brings a lot of clarity and purpose to your sales efforts.
I get that. I will tell you as well, I'll admit to another issue that personal issue that I have, which is that whole tracking thing. My advisory team have been on me for a while about my tracking. So how do you get your clients into, especially because, you know, so if you're a detailed person, I can see that being easy for you. But if you're not that type of person, how do you get them to wrap their mind around the whole process of tracking the prospects that you have, the opportunities that are in front of you, the status of those opportunities, to be able to review those on a regular basis?
Yeah. So I'll share with you the quick way and the long-term way, or the way that I think provides more value but can take a little bit longer. So the first is simply just write it down somewhere.
Okay.
You know, keep it on a whiteboard. Write down this, you know, in a line, write the steps that you take people through, you know, maybe first conversation, sending a proposal, what have you, and then write just little squares with the actual opportunity somewhere where you can see it. And then you can see, you know, do I have a lot of people getting stuck in a certain stage, you know, just, but keeping it visible. That would be the sort of low-tech way to do it if you're not super detail-oriented. And I would say make sure you add up the value of all those opportunities and put it at the top, because you have to see if you're on track to, if you're pursuing enough to make the money you want to make.
Okay.
The other way is to use a customer relationship management software, which is often called a CRM.
Yes.
And CRMs are amazing. I'm a huge fan of CRMs. I will tell anybody to get one. Even if you are a solopreneur, if they're worthwhile, because you put all of your contacts in there, and it matches your sales process with your contacts, with all of your emails and all of that stuff. So here's how that might work. You set up your sales process inside your CRM, you know, the same stages that you would have written on your whiteboard, and then all of the people that you've ever talked to, or the, you know, maybe people you met at a networking event, you put them in the CRM. You create opportunities that, you know, track along that sales process, but everything's in one place. So let's say you go and say, all right, well, so-and-so is close to closing, but she hasn't gotten back to me on that thing I sent her. Let me follow up with her. And I click on her name, and it has all of our last correspondence. As the thing that I, you know, whatever I sent to her, it has that you can have reminders for, you know, so-and-so needs to hear from you. And so it takes a lot of the work out of it, because everything is in one place. And it makes tracking very easy, even if you hate it.
Okay. Are there any suggestions as to some CRM tools?
Yeah, there are a few that I really like. So for solopreneurs and entrepreneurs who are just running smaller businesses, Nimble is a great one. I've been using that for several years. And for companies that are a little bit larger and maybe you need to, or people who have team members and they need to share information across team members, ProsperWorks is great. That's another one. And then if you are doing some more marketing automation, so kind of like Zamelia, what you have in terms of your lead, you know, your guide for women entrepreneurs, and maybe you send a follow-up email and another one after that, more marketing automation, their ActiveCampaign is a great one for that, because it has CRM and marketing automation in one.
You just mentioned some that I have never heard of. So,
oh my gosh,
I knew Salesforce. I was like, oh, she's going to mention Salesforce as one. But that's a very, very intricate tool.
It is, and it's great for a lot of companies, but I find that it's not as good a fit for small businesses.
Okay.
Or rather, especially solopreneurs and other entrepreneurs, because
right.
it is it's best when it's highly customized. And there are other solutions that are a little more ready out of the box for entrepreneurs and solopreneurs, and are really more set up for that.
Okay. Well, thank you for sharing those tools, because I think that's an effort within itself sometimes, is finding the appropriate tool that fits where you are in your business journey. So,
oh my God, there are hundreds of them. I mean,
yes.
It's insane. I actually wrote a guide called How to Choose a CRM without Going Crazy.
Right.
Because that process can drive you up a wall.
Right. And then there's always a new tool, you know. So mm-hmm. it's just, you know, you always have to kind of evaluate your tools at certain points in your the growth of your business, because, you know, something that worked for you when you were smaller, now that your team is growing and your business is growing, you know, you may find that there's another tool that fits best where you are at that point. And then you're going through this whole process again. So thank you for just kind of sharing some three tools that people can go to and kind of evaluate, because you've already done that work for them. And provide, you know, and they can use that as a starting point. They may not choose any of them, but they could use it as a starting point.
Exactly.
So some other questions. You know, I always have to go to a financial question in regards to, you know, people learning something financial from all of these calls. And I feel that it's really, really important for people to identify that, hey, I can do that, and that will affect me in this way. So can you share what was one of your best financial decisions you've made since you became a professional woman?
Good question. Well, I'm a big fan of knowing what you know and what you don't know.
Okay.
And so for me, one of my best decisions was to get help for the things that I am not good at.
Okay.
And I am not, I don't have a background in finance. And so I, just getting help with a financial planner was really a great move for me. And also, really getting clear on my budget. Now I had to credit my wife for this, because she's much better at it than I am. She loves budgets
okay.
and all of that, but getting clear on spending. And, you know, it's back to that thing about what gets measured gets done. And
right.
when you can see you're spending in one place, that really brings – it's very eye-opening. I'll say that.
Yeah. When you actually see numbers on paper, it's powerful. I'm a really big proponent of taking the things that are in your mind and writing them down and posting them somewhere so you can see them on a regular basis,
mm-hmm.
because
mm-hmm.
when you do that, I feel that what you're kind of asking the universe to do is to make this thing happen in my life.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
you know, so I love that, you know, that whole idea of you have to measure it. And even though sometimes in different areas, so it's interesting like how in some areas you're able to measure things and in other areas you fight it. So that's what I find that I fall into. So some things, oh, yeah, I got that. And then other things, I just don't want to do it.
Oh, my gosh, me too.
So, but, you know, it's so simple. It's a simple concept. We make it complicated, especially when it's something we don't want to do. But, you know, really looking at your numbers and evaluating them and seeing where you want to be and having an approach in order to get to these numbers is very invigorating. Especially
mm-hmm.
when you start hitting them, or when you start seeing the fruits of this labor that you've done actually come into existence, and you're empowered. I don't know. It's very empowering and inspiring for me. So I kind of get caught up there.
No, I love it. Well, can I also share one thing that a financial mistake that I made that I would caution others not to make?
Yes, please do.
So I would say, whatever you're thinking about doing, don't wait. You know, if you're thinking about starting a, you know, getting somebody to look across all of your finances or, you know, get a policy or start a 401k, whatever it is, don't wait. Because I'll tell you, so I, when I was running my business, I didn't have a life insurance policy. You know, it's always something that you just get as like corporate, you know,
right.
whatever. I didn't have a life insurance policy and I put it off and I put it off and it sat on my to-do list for months. And then I had a stroke. And,
wow.
and I was 36 and, you know, and I am, it was a small stroke. It was fine. Like I'm fine. I'm fully recovered, all that. But can I tell you how hard it was to get a life
yeah.
insurance policy
yes.
after you have a stroke? And who could have ever guessed it? I mean, I'm 36. I was really active. I don't have any of the indicators for stroke. You know, my cholesterol is great. Blood pressure is great. All of that, right? It's such a fluke. So if you are thinking about it, don't wait. That's my advice.
No, I totally agree. I had a friend of mine, just to piggyback off of that story, I had a friend of mine who was young when she was diagnosed with breast cancer. And we were having a conversation, and when she shared with me this diagnosis, she said, one of the things I'm very grateful for is the fact that I got life insurance before I hit 40,
mm-hmm.
and that I had it in place because she had younger kids, and she, you know, your mind goes to, you know, I want to make sure that they're taken care of. And, you know, I will tell people that if you have a cancer diagnosis, that you are pretty much going to be denied for life insurance for about 5 years. They want you to be 5 years out of the last medical procedure that was done, or they
mm-hmm.
want it to be 5 years after that before they will insure you. So they want to, you know, make sure that, you know, life insurance, they're businesses, so they have to think about their bottom line as well and the risk that they're taking. So, you know, when you have, we don't know if a medical situation is going to happen to us. And a lot of times we do put off doing a lot of things because we like, oh, we're young and we, you know, this is, you know, I have plenty of time, but we don't know that. How do you know
right.
that? So I think that that's a powerful story about not procrastinating about your financial future.
Right, exactly. You just never know. You just never know. And it will always be harder later.
Right, exactly, exactly, exactly. So share with my audience how they can reach you if they want to learn how to empower themselves to be rock star sales people.
Yeah, so I invite everybody to check out my website and find me at growthworkssolutions.com. It's all one word, Growthworks Solutions. And there, as a first step, I have something on there where you can get my three best strategies for comfortable selling.
Okay.
And it's a guide and a mini course. So that's the first way that you can start to, you know, build your skills. But, you know, I'm always open to chatting, and I love for people to reach out to me, and I write back to every personal email. So I invite everyone to reach out and say hi.
Okay. So I just want to reemphasize that your website is growthworkssolutions.com. And I will have that as well so that people can reach out to you via your website, and they can just see all the tools that you have, read more about your powerful story and how you empowered yourself, and now you're empowering other women to get out there and grow their businesses. So thank you so much. I appreciate you joining this conversation and expanding and opening my eyes around the idea of busting through your limiting beliefs in order to make the money that you want to make within your business. I think that's powerful.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you.